Please open your Bibles to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 4, your Schofield Reference Bible, page 707, beginning with verse 6. We'll read responsively to verse 10. Song of Solomon, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 10, page 707 in your Schofield Bible. Let's stand, as we always do, for the reading of the Word of God. And reading responsively these verses. The first verse we read is, or that I read, is the text verse for this morning's message. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountains of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of the Manna, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. And together also in verse 10, how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse, how much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. And let's pray. Father, we look to thee for thy help. We need thee in that special way that will bring to us the purpose for our being here. And so, clear our minds, I pray. Open our hearts. Help us to receive with gladness thy word as it's preached by our preacher. Bless him with thy power and fill us each with thy spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you comfortable this morning? You're too warm. Raise your hand if you're too warm. Are you pleased? Brother Randy, where are you? Turn it down a couple of degrees, would you please? I see some folks fanning. I didn't mind that. When a fellow took his shirt off, that bothered me a great deal. This morning, I'm going to be just a bit different. You hope I will, won't you? I hope you'll listen to me as I am rather personal in my message. Father, help me as I speak. May I be an encouragement, a source of strength to our people today, and to those who meet with us, in Jesus' name, amen. Allow me, if you would, to be just a bit personal, because this is a very special week for us. Mrs. Hiles and I will celebrate our 55th wedding anniversary, if we can avoid divorce until Tuesday. We're very happy. We're happy people. We have reasons, if we chose, to be sad, but we're not. We, like you, have our own burdens and our own heartaches that could cause us to weep most of the time, but we don't choose to do that. And I'm going to share with you this morning the secret to it. I'm going to give you the secret to our happiness, and I believe it'll help you tremendously if you'll listen. I needed a date. I had to have a date on a Friday night. Well, I wasn't dating anybody at the time. I couldn't figure out whom to ask. I was working at Dallas Railway and Terminal Company, playing semi-professional softball for them. And I picked up the phone book. Decided to go through the phone book, see if I could come across a name of a girl I knew. Well, Dallas, a pretty good-sized city. I went through the phone book. I came to the name Slaughter, and that's what you've been doing to me all these years. I came to the name Slaughter, and I said, I think I know a girl named Beverly Slaughter. Yeah, sure, Beverly Slaughter. She lives 5 blocks from me. She goes to our church. She's somewhat younger than I am. She's not anymore. She's older now, but she's younger then. So I picked up the phone, and I called her. And I said, Beverly, this is Jack Hiles. She did not seem overly impressed. I said, I need a date Friday night. Would you be willing to be my date? She said, no, I'm going steady with Charlie Dickerson, and I cannot accept your invitation. But it didn't matter to me. There's more fish in the pond than that one. So I kept on looking through the phone book. And several months passed, and several weeks. I was at First Baptist Church of Dallas in a citywide meeting, some kind of little study meeting, and Joanne Freeman, who was my age and a friend of mine, she came up and she said, I know somebody that wants to date you. Well, that was always the case, no big deal. And I said, who is it? And she said, Beverly Slaughter wants to date you. Oh, I said, no, she's going steady with Charlie Dickerson. And Joanne says she's not anymore. She broke up with him since you asked for a date, and she wants to date you. Oh, I said, good. When I see her, I'll ask her for a date. And Joanne said, you can see her right now. She's right over there. I do not know whether Beverly put Joanne up to this or not. I have my suspicions. So we had our first date. Then I decided after we dated a while that I loved her. And so I was going into the Army. The night that I was to go in the Army, I was already with the group. I couldn't leave. We're at the Union Terminal train station in Dallas. I couldn't leave because I was there already inducted, and they would not let me leave the Union Terminal. I decided at the Union Terminal I was going to get engaged before I left. But I didn't have a ring. Ah, but I had $20. So I called my cousin, Edna Earl Lingo, and I said, Edna Earl, I want to get engaged. So I said, could you come, please, to the Union Terminal? I want to talk to you. So she went down and bought an engagement ring for $19.95. And it was a real imitation diamond and a genuine imitation. But anyway, it was a little bit of diamond. You could see it with a magnifying glass. And so just before I left to go to the paratroopers, or this, actually the infantry at the time, we were engaged. But there's a story behind that. We broke up. I was on furlough. I came back on furlough to get married, to be at home for about 10 days. And so we decided to get married, but we broke up. She took that ring, and you know the story. She threw that ring across the street about 10 o'clock at night in a vacant lot with weeds that high, and she got mad at me. I can honestly say that our fuss was her fault. And I've noticed that all these 55 years have been the same way. How many fellows have noticed the same thing? All right. So I went home. It was all over. She drove her car about 25 miles all the way across Dallas and wrote Ruth, the story about Ruth, entreat me not to leave thee, and return following after thee, but thou goest where I go, and I will lodge and thy people shall be my people, and all that kind of stuff, and put it on the front door. Well, now then, we want to get engaged, but we want to get married. But it's too late to get married. You got to go down. You got to get a license. That's stuff they have in Texas. And have to get a license, and you have to get physical examination. So I decided I wanted to get an extension to my furlough so I'd get married. But I had no reason. My sister had gotten out of her car. As she got out of the car, she stepped on a rock, and she sprained her ankle. She could walk, but she had a limp. I wired my general in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and said, sister injured in car accident could have a 7-day extension. He wired back and said, extension granted, hope your sister pulls through. And we got married. If my sister had not sprained her ankle, I'd be single to this day. But anyway, we got married. Now then, in these years, we have had a lot of trials, as you have. We've had a lot of burdens and heartbreak, as you have, but we're happy. Now I'll tell you this morning how we've stayed happy through all the battles, all the heartaches, all the heartbreak of the ministry. The little scripture that I'm going to use as my text this morning, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get thee to the mountain. Today I'm talking about burdens over which you have no control. I'm talking about questions with no answers. I'm talking about problems and no solutions. I'm talking about heartbreak with no mending. Let me get this mic so I can talk a little more freely. I call your attention the passage that reminds me of our lives and describes to me and to you how we're happy, and I mean that. We're as happy. We laugh more than anybody I know. We cut up an awful lot. The truth is she's a character, and she's married to a character, and we enjoy life in spite of the burdens. Now then, I want to give you several thoughts about until the shadows go away. Number one, there is a shadow in every life. There is a shadow in every life. Brother Roy Moffat and I cut up with each other. And we have a lot of fun. I enjoy it very much. I love the guy very, very much. I've never said that before, and I would be sorry I said it after the service is over. And I'll retract it even. But at this very moment, I love him. It comes and goes. You know how it is. But Brother Roy has burdens, and I have burdens. Now, let me tell you how we overcome these burdens and how we're happy in spite of these burdens. I said, number one, there is a shadow in every life. There is a break in every heart. There is a droop for every shoulder. There is a night for every day. There is a thorn for every rose. There is the tear for every eye. There is a bump in every road. There is a winter for every year. There is a heave for every breast. And there is an evening for every morning. So I will not attempt today to tell you how to avoid the shadows. You're not going to avoid the shadows. They're going to come. If your heart has not yet been broken, it will be broken. If your heart does not yet ache, it will ache. If tragedy is not knocked on your door, it will soon knock on your door. I said there is a shadow in every life. So I will not attempt to tell you how to avoid the shadow. I will attempt to show you how to take the shadow when it comes. I said, number one, there is a shadow for every life. Number two, the shadow will flee away. And I said again, the shadow will flee away. It does not say if the shadow flee away. It says till the shadow flees away. So I'm saying that I've got good news for you. The shadow is not going to stay there. The morning will come. The day will break. The tear will dry. The shoulder will straighten. The rose will bloom. The spring will come. No cloud is permanent and no night is forever. I said, number one, there is a shadow in every life. And number two, that shadow will flee away. I love what Isaiah said in chapter 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters. Not if thou passest through the waters, but when thou passest through the waters. You are a tourist in the shadows and not a citizen. You are a traveler in the shadows and not a dweller. You are a sojourner in the shadows and not a tenant or an inhabitant. The shadows will flee away. I said number one. I'll hurry. I said, number one, shadows will come. I said, number two, the shadows will flee away. Number three, and this is so common, I've said it so often, so you can take it. Over the house, I've got a bigger load than I can carry. Now you listen to me. God knows your load limit, and God will not place a load on you bigger than you can carry. Now, it may be a heavy load, but you can carry that heavy load. Again, Isaiah 53:2 says, they, the waters, shall not overflow thee. I said, number one, every life has shadows. I said, number two, the shadows will flee away. I say, number three, so you can take it. How many times do I take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13? There's no temptation or testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Did you hear that? He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Whatever burden He places on you, He'll not place a burden heavier than you can bear. Whatever heartache He places on you, He'll not place a heartache heavier than you can care for. Whatever load you have to carry is not heavier than your ability to carry that load. Whatever hurt you have, you can bear that hurt. Whatever pain you have, you can bear that pain. I don't care what it is today, God in heaven will not place on you a load bigger than you can carry. He knows your load limit, so quit saying, oh, I can't take any more. You can take everything God allows you to take. So, you can take it. It said He will not suffer you to be tested above that you're able, but will also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, through these years, Mrs. House and I have shed many a tear. We've lost what we thought were friends. We've had many battles, and you know many of them. But I want to say today, there's a way that you can be happy in the battle. I'm going to share it with you a little later, especially. But I want to say again, everybody has a valley. In other words, there is a shadow in every life. Number two, the shadow will flee away. And number three, you can take it. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. Relief is in sight. The sun will shine again. God's 911 number will answer. The fire will flicker out. The river will subside. The shadows will flee away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, look. I'm not talking to you this morning as some kid preacher that's heard what he's talking about. I'm talking to you as a man who for 55 years has been preaching that book. I was last to preach right after we got married in the same little service. We got married. I was last to preach right before we got married, and we went to pastor study and got married. And for 55 years, I have fought every battle a preacher can fight. I have faced every hurdle a preacher can face. I have borne, I guess, every burden a preacher can bear. Let me tell you about my wonderful Heavenly Father. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. Let me tell you, not by hearsay, but by experience, God will not place a load on you bigger than you can bear. I said, number one, you will have shadows. No way to avoid it. I said, number two, those shadows will flee away. I said, number three, until those shadows flee away, you can take it. Now, here's the sermon. Let me read my text again. Until the daybreak, and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain. Until the shadows flee away, let me show you. Down here on earth, and the shadows are here, and they're going to flee away one of these days. But until those shadows flee away, I rise above those shadows and I flee to the mountain. What am I saying? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, rise above your heartache. Rise above your shadows. And God said, I will flee to the shadows. You say, what am I saying? Don't talk about it. Don't talk about your heartache. Talking is simply the spade that deepens the hole. Don't seek sympathy. Sympathy seeking is a weight to make the load heavier. Don't quit your responsibilities. Quitting is adding a new problem to the old problem. Don't indulge in self-pity. That changes the shadow to a fog. Thank God, if you have lost the ring, you still have the finger. I said, thank God, if you've lost the ring, you still have the finger. If you take the engagement ring off and throw it away in the weeds across the street. By the way, her mother went out there the next morning and spent the whole day and found that ring and that vacant lot in all those weeds. Tightwad. But I'm trying to say this, ladies and gentlemen. Rise above your burdens. People say to me, Brother House, How goes the battle these days? I don't know how the battle goes. I'm up here on the mountaintop. I'm living on a mountain underneath the cloud disguise. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. I'm feasting on the manna of a bountiful supply. I'm dwelling in beer land. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, get up. The writer said the shadows came and they're going to flee away. Until they did flee away, I rose to the mountaintop. Live above it. That's what I'm talking about. So I don't know how the battle is. One of my favorite scriptures is over in Exodus. There were two little towns in Exodus. One was called Marah, and the other was called Elam. Marah was a town that was a barren desert kind of a town. It was a town with the waters were bitter. In fact, that's where the Israelites threw the tree in the waters and made them sweet. The waters of Marah were bitter. Marah was an ugly place, arid place, desert-like place. Nothing could grow there. Over here was another town called Elam. Elam had 70 beautiful palm trees and 12 nice wells of fresh water. And it was a tropical kind of place. It was a Palm Beach kind of place. It was a Maui kind of place, a Hawaii kind of place, a tropical kind of place. And over here was Marah, a bitter, desert, arid land. But they only were 7 miles apart. That means that anybody who lived in Marah, 7 miles down the road, there was Elam. Now, that means that everybody had their choice. You could live over here in this arid land, and you could be miserable, and you could drink the bitter water, or a two-hour walk down here maybe, 7 miles down the road, is a tropical place, and everybody in this room has reason to why you could live over there or live over here. I don't care who you are. You've got enough burdens if you wanted to whine and pine. I don't care who you are. You've got enough blessings if you want to have a spell and shout. That's up to you. If you want to go over here and dwell in Marah and feel sorry and have your pity party, that's up to you. But bless God, you don't have to. You say, "Well, the house, you don't know my burden." I know your name is written in heaven. But you don't know my heartache. I know you're a child of God. But you don't know my sorrow and the load I carry. I know one thing. If you're a child of God, your sins are forgiven, hidden behind the back of God, separated from God, from you as far as the east is from the west. They're not recorded in God's book. You're a child of God. God is your Father. Heaven is your home. You escaped the fires of hell. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. Jesus is your Savior. Salvation is your possession. And the second coming of Jesus is your blessed hope. Why don't you move over here to Elam and live in Elam? But here you are over here. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus, Christ's child lives. Now, everybody can be over here. Everybody's got a burden. Everybody's got a heartache. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus, Christ's trials. Shoot. Not only am I looking forward to streets of gold and gates of pearl, but bless God, I'm enjoying the trip. Now you pack up your clip this morning, quit your griping, catch your pity party, put your furniture in a moving van, and move 7 miles down the road, and don't live there where the shadows are until the shadows flee away. Flee to the mountain. That's what he said. So it's up to you. You can live in Marah. I called my son called the other day, and he's doing well. He said, "Dad, I'm now in charge of the Sunday school at the church here in Pinellas Park, Florida." He said, "I'm so busy in the Sunday school," and he said, "I'm enjoying it." He's the choir director, congregational song leader, and teaches the largest couples class there, and also now is in charge of the Sunday school. Hear me carefully. A year ago last March, my little grandson was killed, as you know.
And Dave has had Brenda for the toughest time. And Dave said, "Dad, I think I found the answer." He said, "I'm busy serving God like I've never been before. And I'm wrapped up and leading the Sunday school." And he said, "Dad, it makes it so much easier to take the loss of little Jack David. But there you sit this morning in Elam." Now I said again, anybody could live in Elam.
Anybody could say, "Preacher, I just got more than I can bear." Let me tell you, it was Stephen who was in Elam. He was in Marah, and he was being stoned to death, and he was being pelted, and he was dying, and all of a sudden he looked over there, and in Elam he saw the Son of God, the glory of God, and Jesus on the right hand of God. And Stephen said, "Well, I just think I'll move over here to Elam for a while. There's no need to live over there, and pop, I'll come over here and shout."
John the Beloved was over here in Marah, exiled on Patmos. He looked over to Elam and he saw the rapture. He saw the marriage of the Lamb. He saw the judgment seat of Christ. He saw the second coming of Christ to the earth. He saw the millennial kingdom when Jesus would rule and reign. He saw the great white throne judgment. He saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And John said, "I could sit over here and complain in Marah because I'm exiled." He said, "I just think I'll move over here to Elam and have a spell and praise God." I don't care who you are. You've got enough reason, if you wanted to live down here in the shadows, but rise above the shadows. Until the shadows flee away. They will flee away. I said again, the shadows will come. Brother John, it seems like every day we hear somebody. A lady, our church for years, had a stomach pain, 55 years of age. Gets so bad, she goes to the hospital. In a few minutes, she's gone. Man's driving down south. A deer comes out in front of his car. A van, they swerve to miss the deer. One of our finest members is paralyzed with his neck down today. It's every day. It's every day. And I want to tell you something, folks. One of these days, your time's going to come. The phone's going to ring. And someone has been injured from your family. Or someone has suddenly passed away from your family. Or the doctor's going to tell you it's malignant. I say the shadows are going to come. But let me tell you, they also will flee away. Let me tell you, number three, you can take it until they do. So hang in there. Tie a rope, tie a noose at the end of your rope and hang yourself, somebody said. Tie a knot at the end of the rope and hang on. I said, the shadows are going to flee away. Let me tell you, an old man who's been preaching for 55 years, I know what it's like. To face the end of the road. I know what it's like not to see your hand. But bless God, I decided a long time ago, I'm going up there on a mountain. I'm going to live up there. I'm going to get up there above the shadows until they flee away. But there you are down there. It will be worth it all. Oh, shoot. Saying, I'm living on a mountain. Underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at a fountain that never shall run dry. I'm feasting on a manna with a bountiful supply. I'm dwelling in beauty and climb up on a mountaintop. The shadows will flee away. I said, Dave. I said, you mind if I tell the people what you said at all, Dad? And so, 55 years ago, this Tuesday night, Mrs. House and I, along with our parents, my mother and her mother, and we sat in the prayer meeting, the week service, and they licensed me to preach. And after that, we went to the pastor's study. She had no wedding gown. We had no formal wedding. We had no attendance. We had no music. Nobody was there but my mother, my sister, and her mother and father, and her brother, and his wife, and that little pastor's study. We went on our honeymoon. I went down to buy a train ticket. I just bought one. I said, I want one train ticket to Fayetteville, North Carolina. She said, how about me? Oh, yeah, there's two of us now. We get on the train. We are going to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. We're going to live in Fayetteville. We're at $29. $29. I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you what we had. We're just a couple of kids. I was 7. She was 4. We got on the train. We got just 1 hour out of Fayetteville. And this little woman up here said, Jayak, didn't you borrow $200 from your dad for the wedding? I said, yes. She said, did you tithe off that $200? I said, you don't tithe off what you borrow. And the teenage bride said, we do. And we will. Then we usually say, what do what she says do. She said, we're not going to start our marriage off robbing God. I saw that little woman 55 years ago take a $20 bill out of an envelope where we had 5, 4 ones, and a 20. And I saw her put that $20 bill in the Hillcrest Baptist Church envelope and walk up to the post office in front of the train and drop that. She came back. We had $9. I think I'm about to shout. She had $9. That's all we had. Just a couple of kids. We knelt there. Folks were laughing at us, but we knelt there and made an altar out of the chair on the train and put that $9 in front of us. He said, dear God, we gave you what's yours. Now, we ask you to take care of us. What a wonderful job he's done. Got off the train at 2 o'clock in the morning, so wee hours. $9, no place to stay. No hotel room, no motel room, no apartment. Just got married. No place to stay. Picked up a Fayetteville Observer newspaper. 2 o'clock in the morning. A couple of kids. Opened it up to the classified section. It said room for rent, $7.50 a night. We had no car. We couldn't afford a cab. We walked about a mile in the wee hours of the morning. I'm not recommending this. I'm just saying it's what happened to us. Walked about a mile, 2 o'clock in the morning. Knocked on the door, woke the people up. Said, I understand you have a room for rent. She said, yes. We paid $7.50. That means we had $1.50 left over. Didn't get paid for 3 months because I've been transferred from one camp to another. $1.50. Let me testify. I wish I could talk every young person in this room letting God live your life. I wish I could talk every young person in this room. I wish I could talk to you, and when you get 74, you'd be as happy as we are. And I'd like to testify what a wonderful God and what a wonderful Savior. $1.50, that's all. And now, 55 years later, this great church, Howes Henderson College, Hammond Baptist Schools, 1,000 preacher boys, 1 million souls have come to Christ. You say, how have you stayed happy through all of it? How have you stayed happy? Number one, we realized the shadows were going to come. Number two, we knew the shadows would flee away. Number three, we said we'll take it until they do. And number four, we have gone up to the mountain and risen above the shadows. Let me recommend several things this morning. If you're not a Christian, let me recommend Jesus.
Let me recommend heaven. Let me recommend being a child of God. You're a child of God. Let me recommend. Let him have what you have. Let go and let God have his way. Let go and let God have his way. Your burden will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. So Tuesday evening, we will finish 55 years. We're happy. Very, very happy. We enjoy life. You say, but if you had all the burdens I have, now the simple truth is, I spend most of my life carrying people's burdens that are lighter than mine. I spend most of my life solving people's problems that are not as great as mine. I spend most of my life bearing people's heartaches that don't hurt as much as mine does. But I decided everybody has shadows. The shadows will flee away. I can take it till they do. And the way I take it, I go up to the mountain and live above it. Folks don't come to me and say, well, a guy used to come out in the alley every Sunday morning. He's in the house. He walked down the alley with me. He said, I want you to know I'm for you no matter what they say. I said, what did they say? I told him one day not to ever walk down the alley with me again. I don't care what they say. Don't come to me with your griping. I'm up here on the mountaintop. Don't come to me with your negatives. I'm on the mountaintop. Well, how don't you have... I don't know whether I've got burdens or not. They're down there. I'm up here. I'm living on a mountain underneath the top of the sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. I'm feasting on the manna of a bountiful supply. I'm dwelling in beautiful land. If I could this morning, I would force everybody here to give your life to God. 55 years as a preacher. 55 years of marriage. 55 years of God's blessings. 55 years of victories. As I walked out of my office this morning, as I always do, I came face to face with a map of the world. And on that map, 1,000 names or so. And I prayed for my boys, preaching all over the country and all around the world today. What a life. What a life. What a life. If you're a child of God today, let him have what you've got. If you're not a child of God, trust him as your Savior. And one day you look back when you get 74 and say, glory to God, what a journey, what a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior, who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. Walk down the aisle and say yes to Christ. I sat in office this week several times with young people, wasting their lives. Pleasure. Liquor. Rock music. You will not be happy when you're 74 if that's the road you travel. But I promise you, if you travel the road that I've traveled, you'll have shadows. But they won't be forever. And you can take it while they're there. And the way you take it is, you rise, as did the rider, to the mountain and choose to live in Edom rather than Marah. Would you bow your heads, please?